welcome back to Starting to Scale. I'm Emmy Faust. I hope you're having a lovely week. If your children have broken up, if you've got kids, then I hope the start of the summer is going well. I know it's all go in our house, and that is why I'm having a little break over the summer. I actually got it wrong. This is the second to last episode, and next week, don't miss it because it's brilliant. It's all about finances and it's all about your numbers, but it really does. I speak with Reza Huda, who is an accountant, and he's just fantastic. He makes it all sound so much more exciting and bearable. And, you know, understanding your numbers and understanding your financial accounts and all that kind of stuff is super, super important. So do come back next week for the final episode of Series 2 and have a listen to me and Reza chatting about one of my favourite topics. Today we've got Alexa Rathbone-Barker. She is CEO and co-founder of Tripper Brood, which is a business that is disrupting the travel space and focuses on helping families find travel solutions. And having four kids myself, I know what that's like. You can take hours and hours trying to find a holiday, only to find when you think you've booked it that you're the only room that's free is the presidential suite or something ridiculous like that, which is totally unaffordable. So I really, really love talking to Alexa to hear about her journey so far, her funding, and everything that she's doing with Tripper Brood. So welcome, Alexa, to the show. Today on Starting to Scale, we have Alexa Maria Rathbone-Barker, and I'm going to just call her Alexa from now on. And she has set up a platform called Trip Abroad. We met on LinkedIn, actually, and what attracted me to get in touch with Alexa in the first place is my background in, I've done a bit of work in the travel space, but also I've got four children, and I know how difficult it is to do family holidays. So Alexa, welcome to the podcast. Do say hello, and we'd love to hear a little bit more about your business that you set up.
Thank you very much, Emmy. Hi everyone, I'm Alexa. I get quite a lot of jokes on my name, as you can imagine. I tend to say I was the first Alexa. I'm sure I wasn't the first one, but I'm definitely the real Alexa. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Tripper Brood. Where do you want me to start? Shall I share a little bit about the story of Tripper Brood?
Exactly. Love to hear what Tripper Brood is. And I'd love to hear, and I know everyone else would, why. I've read one of your blog posts, so I kind of know why, but it would be great to share with the listeners why you set the business up. And I suppose you basically identified a gap in the market or a problem that needed solving.
Yeah, sure. So at Tripper Brood, we're the world's first digital human experience for family travel powered by AI. And what we're creating is an AI travel assistant. We call her Aita, and she matches families. Aita. Okay. So it's AI travel assistant. But okay. Aita in Chinese actually also means love him or love her.
Aww.
So yeah, we thought it was a cute name, and sort of recognizing that it is an AI assistant, so it's not a real human. We wanted to veer away from the trend of giving her a real human name. And we'll see, we're getting customer feedback on it. Some people absolutely love it, some people are not so sure. But as always the way with these names, we call her Aita, and we're pretty excited about how she's developing this intelligence around understanding families and their individual needs, and then matching families to their ideal holiday. And the whole reason that Tripper Brood started was really the challenges that I'd face trying to book family holidays when I was working at Bloomberg. So I had a long career at Bloomberg. I traveled to Asia and run sales offices out in Asia, and I'd come back to Europe, and I was running the European analytics department. And at that time I had three kids. I'd had two in Asia. I had my third back in London. And I just distinctly remember this experience of wanting to plan a family holiday and feeling like I hadn't engaged with my kids for so long, just work had been so full on. And there was a lot of pressure I was putting on in my head about, you know, this family holiday being a chance to reconnect together. And I was spending all my commute in and out of work trying to search holidays. And I was looking at all the usual suspects, online travel agents. And all I had in my mind was, I've got family of five. I want us all to be in the same room. And that process of trying to find a suitable holiday, we were actually going back to Hong Kong to visit some friends. The whole process was taking weeks and weeks. And I finally landed on this hotel that looked amazing. And I was through to the final stage and it said booking confirmation, you know, pay here. And then this alert came up saying, you're over maximum room capacity, please phone the hotel. And so I was sort of gutted. I was right at work and I was thinking, right, I was all mentally prepared. I was already there in the room. And I phoned the hotel and they said, oh, actually, yes, it will be £500 extra for a cot bed for your third child. And we were already maxed out on budget. So we actually ended up compromising, booking an Airbnb, self-catering. I really didn't want a self-cater. I wanted it all to be done for me at that point. But off we went to Hong Kong. And I remember that was just that light bulb moment of looking around at this metropolis and thinking, how can there not be a hotel that has a room that fits five people?
We've got
and then
that
I came
problem.
Back to London. Sorry?
I was just going to say, we've got that problem with four kids. It's like so difficult. And you've either got sort of like a presidential suite or you have to get two adjoining suites, which is just so ridiculously expensive. And the girls always want to go to a hotel. But as you said, it's like that process of going through. And I feel your pain because I've done it myself. It always sort of, you think you're going to get something and then it comes back with nothing.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's sort of the huge frustration of thinking, am I that complicated? Yeah. You know, so I suppose. Yeah. And the reality is, yes, families are more complicated than other types of travellers. And yet we all have to use the same tools as everyone else, which really only ask, where are you going? When are you going? And who are you going with? And then you get this laundry list of options that's the same as what I get to what someone else gets. There's no element of understanding me as a family or anything to do with me, my unique personality. And at that stage then it's really down to me as a travel agent to then use filters and narrow down the search, but that's really where all the time comes from. So on average, a family will spend about 30 hours researching their holiday across about 15 websites.
Gosh. And that's incredibly time consuming. And I mean, if time is money and time is energy and the opportunity, I mean, that is just such a huge amount of time, isn't it? And it's actually quite stressful as well, like you said, the fact you keep thinking you found something and then you can't actually, it doesn't actually work out.
Yeah, exactly. And it is that feeling of actually you almost need a holiday from booking the holiday. That's a stress level.
barely worth going away. So you're going to answer all these problems, are you? You're just going to give me an amazing holiday for my, and I'll just book it and boom, it's all done. So how does that work with the, what's Ata doing? Is she going and searching booking.com and doing that work, or have you got individual deals with the hotel? How does it work? How does the
That's a great question. So ultimately what we're trying to do with our conversational interface is we're trying to replicate the sort of personalized service you got when you walked into a travel agent shop. And the first time you walked in there, they might spend a bit of time talking to you, getting to know you, but then the next time you go in, they've already booked a holiday for you and they know a little bit about you, and then they end up being able to tailor the recommendations a little bit further. And then by the time you've developed a relationship with them, they're probably just going to phone you and say, look, I've got a perfect hotel for you. Just don't worry. You know, book it today. I've got a great deal. And I think if you've got an amazing travel agent, my goodness, keep them, because they're really hard to find. But also it tends to be the luxury of people who have the sort of capital and money to spend on the really high-end properties that can afford the sort of bespoke travel agent support. And we want to be able to give that to any family. And essentially that's what Ata is doing. She's spending time talking, conversing with families to understand what they specifically want to get out of their holiday, but also importantly, what their family's like. What do they like doing in their spare time? What are the things that they really don't like, especially when they're going on holiday? And by understanding the things that, you know, preferences, essentially, the things that you absolutely categorically want, let's say a kids club, right? Yeah. You know, you're the type of the person that goes on holiday and has to have a kids club, because I'm like, I really don't want to have to look after my kids on holiday. You know, that's not a holiday for me. Yeah. Whereas you'll have someone else who'll go, actually, for me, I don't want to farm my kids off to a kids club. You know, that's not time with them. I want to be with them. And both are absolutely equally valid. And yet, there's a conversation that needs to be had that goes deeper than just where do you want to go, that goes to the level of understanding, you know, what's really important to you and what you're willing to compromise on. And then importantly, that then shows you those options in a really clear format, so that you go through the buying process having a high level of trust that, okay, so I've spoken to Ata, I've now got this list of recommendations, I understand what this hotel has that I want, I understand what I'm compromising on, I'm willing to make those compromises. Or maybe actually I'm not. So I end up going back to speak to Ota and I end up having another conversation, actually refining my thought process actually on what I really want to get out of this holiday. Ultimately ending up in reducing that time, that 30 hours of back and forth that you're just trying to understand, is this right for me? And getting to a point where we want to reduce that 30 hours to under 10 minutes ultimately. So you go through that whole process. You've used Ota a few times. Ota knows you, your family, and the results you get, you kind of end up going maybe and looking on other websites for an hour or two, and you end up on the same results that Ota showed you in 10 minutes, but with more tailor-made information as well. So that's the goal. And then in terms of being able to buy holidays through us, we at the moment connect to over 700,000 properties all over the world. And for anyone who's kind of tech-minded out there, I think, you know, the huge benefit of the approach we're taking is we have essentially a personalized channel where you can't go on TripAbroad and search for Sarnie Beach in Greece. You'd need to speak to Ota and she would need to understand whether Sarnie Beach is the right hotel for you, at which point you're going to see Sarnie Beach and why it's been recommended, and then a price. So that price isn't actually publicly available, which means we get access to market leading prices from our suppliers, which means we can then pass on savings to all our customers. So, you know, not only do we want to give you the best recommendation, but we want to be able to give it to you at the best price.
So presumably, does the customer pay for your services, or do you take the your payment or a commission for your work from the booking, from the hotel or the tour operator? Is it free to the end customer to use?
Yeah. So it is free to the end customer. There's no sort of subscription payments. You know, ultimately, we want to give people the flexibility to try it out. It is a completely different way of booking travel. And so we're recognizing that by giving it almost just, you know, a free personal assistant to book your travel. But ultimately, I think, you know, we do feel strongly that the personalized approach and the way that our engine is going to take all of that user data, but also all that hotel data, and match it together, the results people are going to get, we feel, are going to be really compelling. So, you know, at the end of the day, we do make a commission out of the bookings that we make on the platform. That's how we make money.
I mean, this sounds like a no-brainer. I mean, I just definitely am going to use it, and I'm sure most families out there are going to want to. How are you going to cope with all the demand? I mean, how many people can Ota look after at a time?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the beauties of the approach we've taken, is the scalability of it, because Ota can speak to anybody 24/7. You just need to land on the TripAbroad website when we go live and you'll be able to talk to her. So we're not constrained by time zone. And, you know, equally important also that back and forth conversation, which tends to take up quite a lot of time. You know, you're sort of waiting for someone to come back via email if you're dealing with an individual, or you're searching across different websites, you're trying to correlate information. All of that time we can save by being able to be effectively on all the time. So when you think of demand and being able to scale up, the entire infrastructure we've built is around the idea that every family in the UK and beyond should be able to use TripAbroad and speak to Ota at any point at any day.
Wow, that's amazing. That kind of blows me away, the fact that you've got that capability to deal with so many people and have so many ongoing conversations at any one time, just with one amazing woman who ate her.
Yeah, the women.
Yeah, or is it a man? I don't know.
It could be. Love him or love her, as they say in Chinese. It could be either.
Exactly, I like that. Gender neutral. So talk to me about I understand why you set it up. It makes total sense. I think there's loads of people that will resonate with that. You secured funding already, is that correct?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
So was that SEIS funding?
It was. We closed an SEIS and EIS round in October from a number of well-known angels, both in travel and in fintech. So sort of the former global head of marketing for Expedia, the NED for Virgin Holidays. We had the global head of travel for American Express, who also joined our board actually in April, and the co-founders of Funding Circle as well. So we have, you know, we have some really amazing people investing, and that's been really additive to us as a business, just getting those people, those seasoned investors that have been through it. A number of them have set up their own businesses and successfully exited, in some cases, you know, unicorn businesses, and other people with really deep
industry expertise, which is super helpful when you're trying to create something that doesn't exist.
I mean, that's incredible to have got not only just the funding, but to have got those people who've got so much industry knowledge and experience, and you've got them sitting on the board and that. How did you connect with those people?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the power of networking. I think it's going back to when you and I connect on LinkedIn. I mean, there's so much online. It's just this amazing power of the internet to be able to make bridges that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise been able to connect with. And it's sort of... it wasn't all through LinkedIn. Most of the people that invested were introductions from people that I knew. And I am a firm believer in that idea of warm introductions and the power of that the person with credibility saying, you know, you should check this person out.
Yeah, heard that before quite a few times.
Yeah. But it is a lot down to luck because, you know, I think, you know, I can sell you any day the exciting fundraising story, but I'll also talk about how hard it is. You know, we kind of almost closed our round, and then that fell through with a lead investor that didn't materialize, and then you're starting again through the whole process and sort of rebuilding trust to the people that were like, yeah, we were in before, but what's happened to this guy?
Yeah, I get it. Really stressful.
And then going through the structure of bringing people in, you know, and I created a founding team of people that I actually hadn't worked with before. So that was really interesting in terms of going through due diligence of saying, actually, I want to get somebody I know the exact experience and expertise that I want, and finding that person and then getting them on board and effectively starting a new business relationship at the same time as fundraising. So all that was going on. And I think, you know, to answer specifically, I think Charles is a good example of that whole, you know, luck piece, but luck also engineered through networking. So I happened to be in Founders Factory meeting a friend of mine, and then one of our advisors, who's the NED of Virgin Holidays, he was walking past, happened to be walking past with George Osborne, and I was a bit starstruck. Wow. I was like, wow. Yeah. And then also there was a wonderful man who he introduced me to that had been the chief executive, I think, of Hertz, the rental car company. Yeah. And then my advisor just did the great credibility thing where he said, you know, Alex got great business. She's trying to disrupt family travel. Why don't you just sit and talk to her? And he gave me 20 minutes of his time. And then I kept in touch with him, and he then introduced me to Charles. So I think, you know, it's a lesson I've learned all the way through this experience is never say no. When someone says, do you have 20 minutes? Even if you've got something planned, or I remember at the time, I think the kids, I had to pick the kids up from school. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? You just have to kind of just grab the opportunities as they come, because you never know what's going to come out of it.
So interesting you say that, Alexa, because this week this will be a couple of weeks past when I published this episode, but I interviewed a girl called Celine who just secured funding during coronavirus, and she was saying exactly the same thing. You know, never say no to a contact on LinkedIn or potential conversation, because actually the way that she got her funding was through someone contacting her on LinkedIn, who introduced her to someone else, who introduced her to someone else, who ended up investing. So it is, and actually I was saying this to one of my clients who wants to get funding, you've got to just get out there and network. It's not going to come to you. You've got to get out, open the doors, start those conversations. And of course, it's going to be hard work. It's not just going to land on your lap, is it? I mean, that is getting investors on board. However great an idea you have, or however great the business is going to be, it is a process that, you know, is a challenge, but well done. That's brilliant. And so you've got your funding, and is a lot of that being spent on the tech?
Yeah, so we closed the rounds in October last year, and, you know, obviously with lockdown, it's been this opportunity, you know, as hard as it's been for all of us to just be stuck at home, it's been this opportunity to lean into developing our MVP, our, you know, launch product, and also to hire amazing talent, you know, people that you know, from a remote point of view, our whole culture is remote now. So we have people working in India, in Scotland, in London. You know, the fact that we're not all in the same country, and you kind of think pre-lockdown, it was almost like, well, I have to hire people that can come into an office and develop the culture through an office. And now I think from the very beginning, we've sort of established TripAbroad as actually, you know, culture can translate across geographies, and also obviously remote as well. So we have a really committed and growing remote team, and we've all been completely dedicated on being able to do two things mainly. One is develop the launch product and user test it and get it to a state where we feel confident that when we enter the market, it's going to really solve the problem that we've we've gone out to solve, and the other piece is around developing those early adopters, developing a community of people that are essentially waiting for Tripperoot to launch, which is why we did the lockdown activity packs, which you might have seen.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I mean, what a great use of your time and energy during coronavirus to be creating these educational packs for families. And you've been getting amazing reviews on that, haven't you? And I've seen your Trustpilot reviews. You've got, you know, huge, I suppose you just started to build that relationship and the know, like, and trust factor with your clients and your customers, so that when they're ready to book, they already have that relationship with you and the brand is top of mind. So I think that's such a great use of time and such a great idea as well.
Yeah, thanks. And it was, you know, credit to someone called Bianca, who at the time had been wanting to get involved in Tripperoot and pitched me the idea of these activity packs, you know, back in February. And I remember hearing the idea and I thought, that is awesome. And then lockdown happened and it was just like, well, that's doubly awesome. the team have done a phenomenal job, really, in just giving out weekly country activity packs with loads of resources to explore different cultures from home. And that seemed to really connect both the children and the parents together, because there's some activities the kids are doing on their own. There's other activities like the culinary activities, cooking that the parents had to get involved. And you know, we've been getting so much user generated content of, you know, parents sending pictures and, you know,
I must do that. I must sign up. It was, I know when last time we spoke, I thought it was such a great idea. And then I totally, that it sort of slipped my mind. Four children in lockdown. There's a lot going on, but I will sign up. And actually, it'd be great if we could put a link to those, if there's any that people can still download, if we could put a link to those in the show notes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, actually, next week we're going out with a specific pack on South Africa. And it's something the teams are really passionate about, which is exploring an African culture. And I think in the light of Black Lives Matter, and doing it in a way that actually kind of really just celebrates Black culture. So that's going live next week.
Brilliant. Well, we'll definitely put a link to that. And I like to keep these episodes relatively short, so we'll just one more question, but I'd love to know, what is next? I mean, are you going to need to get more funding, or is it just really focusing on launching this MVP and sort of actually getting the business going?
Yeah, so we are focused on being able to get this product out to market, getting users playing around with it. I mean, we've done really extensive user testing and got loads of feedback all the way through the journey, really. Kind of well over 1,200 customers have played with it and given feedback.
That's brilliant research.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some great things coming out of that. I mean, I could talk to the cows come home about numbers, but I know we're tight of time. But yeah, no, really, really positive feedback from the community. And also people outside, because we've not just looked at our community, but we looked at parents in general. And the next steps really involve being able to scale out the product, specifically around that ability to personalize through artificial intelligence and machine learning, the journey from a customer of understanding that particular family's needs, and then being able to be matched to a hotel. And we're going to invest time and money and effort into making that the most intuitive and intelligent platform that it can be. And at the same time, also, you know, from a customer acquisition point of view, we want to be able to do a full-scale launch in January next year. So we're doing our sort of soft launch, we'll be able to play around with it and book through the platform from August, and then looking into a full-blown launch in January with the peak season of travel. So there's presumably a lot of cards.
You'll need funding for that, will you, for the big launch?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we are looking, actually, we just opened our seed round this week.
You're a busy lady.
Well, it's just, I mean, the great thing is when you kind of, you've got a product that works in a way that nothing in travel has really done before, this sort of idea of an online travel agent that thinks like a human being. And then being able to combine that with sort of the appetite that we're getting from customers to use it, and also with the idea of people coming out of lockdown and wanting to start traveling again, but being open to using different tools in life in general, and, you know, also in travel, I think it's just such a great opportunity for us to make a really meaningful difference to families going forward.
I think it is. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it is going to change a lot of people's lives, and also, as you said, time is so precious. So wasting 30 hours trying to book your ideal holiday just doesn't seem like a very good idea. And if you've got something that's going to deliver a better offer and save all that time. And also just to, I think it's so nice to be given options, isn't it? Because it's so difficult. Mm. I know how difficult it is to find options. Thank you so much, Alexa, for coming on the podcast. It's been amazing hear your journey, and it feels like everything's moving. The fact that you've managed to get all these incredible advisors and people on board and investors, and to have got feedback from so many families about your product, is just sounds like you're doing really, really well. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me to be part of this amazing podcast.
That's okay. Thanks so much for coming on. And we'll stay in touch. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Starting to Scale with Emmy Faust. That's me. It has been great to have you listening again this week. If you know other founders that are looking to grow profitable, sustainable businesses, then please do let them know about this. And it would make my day if you leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you are enjoying from this podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that through my website, emmyfaust.com. And don't forget, I've got lots of great resources on my website. Go to emmyfaust.com/free. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week.